The True Faith immediate post-match review. We're sat in the union rooms upstairs, what, sort of half an hour after the end of the match against Chelsea, a very unlucky defeat. This beautiful kind of opulent, was it? Is it Georgian or Edwardian building? What is it?
You're asking the wrong people.
It's not my level of expertise. Edwardian, it sounds fancy.
I mean, architecturally it's beautiful, but you know what? I can't appreciate the building right now because I think we're all just sat here devastated and kind of confused that we lost this match. I mean, any one of you dive in, I'm kind of struggling to start this conversation, not because we didn't deserve that at all.
The first thing I'm going to do, because it seems to be the main talking point after the match, is the tactics. Throughout the match, we talked about how he's got it spot on here, but at the end of the day, we've lost the match, and that seems to have been the biggest backlash at full time. So, I mean, I don't know who wants to go first.
I'll tell you what, pre-match, we were all kind of slightly thrown by the three centre-halves. Are we playing like a flat five here at the back? Are we playing 3-5-1-1? It was quite obvious after kick-off, within about sort of 10 minutes, we were kind of reverting between wing-backs, five at the back, wing-backs, five at the back. You could see where the tactic was. The tactic was to kind of, Chelsea were going to have a lot of the ball around the edge of the box, in the box, and we were just crowding them out. And it worked perfectly. I mean, they didn't, as far as I can remember, create a chance that you would consider clear-cut until they got that penalty. So the way I look at it is that he set it up perfectly. In fact, at about 55 minutes in the second half, 55 minutes in the match, I thought to myself, Rondon's going to be knackered, he's going to bring Hosselu on, we're probably going to go for the throw-up with about 20 minutes left. However, you can't account, no matter how well you plan, for penalties that aren't really penalties. And I was very impressed with, I would say, every single performance on the pitch. Anyone added it? That I might be completely off the mark there.
I'll come in here. I think you're right. I think we, as much as Chelsea, we were used to Chelsea playing with like wing backs last season. Chelsea almost played a 3-4-3 last season. Sarri hasn't done that. He's sort of reverted back to a 4 at the back. But you've still got the wing back threat somehow. Alonso is just he's absolutely brilliant at what he does. Even though he's now reverted to just a traditional left back. He was playing as if he was still a wing back. Like, they just don't care. They'll just leave two in the back instead of three because they're that good. Mm-hmm. And they knew they were going to be camped out in our half. So I think the extra man in defence was to sort of nullify the threat of Azpilicueta. Less so, Alonso was really like the attacking fullback that we needed to watch out for. And, similarities with Man City last season.
I don't think the extra man at the back was to necessarily nullify, kind of like take out Alonso and Azpilicueta from the game. I think it was more a case of, right, these two are their kind of major attacking forces. We'll let them have the ball, because they're going to have the ball anyways. They're going to have the ball. We can try and man mark them, it won't work. What it did was, every time they got the ball, and they drove into the box, and the box was fucking crowded. They didn't have anywhere to go, and that's the way that I was viewing it. All right, give them the ball and let them get in the box, and then we'll crowd them out.
I suppose and I'm playing devil's advocate here, but I suppose the more cynical Newcastle fan would say that Alonso and Azpilicueta were able to get involved in the game because of how deep we are. We inevitably invited on that pressure, but I agree with you, Norman. I think it was the plan from the start. It didn't really matter who came forward with the ball. They just couldn't find a way into the box. Cowley?
I think as you've seen nullify, I think it's Pedro and Hazard, really. If you've seen when I know Hazard was roaming about everywhere. He was pretty much everywhere. But when he did get on the left and when Pedro did get on the right, the fullbacks are straight at them. Dummett and Yellowmup, straight at them. And you look at from where, like, the point of view, crossing the ball, where did it... It didn't provide any creativity. Any crosses that came in, it was like one of the centre-backs would clear it out. Have you seen, like, there's a few times where Hazard the ball tried to cross, or Pedro, it would never be left centre back or right centre back, clearing out. They didn't create one chance that way. So it did work in effect, but obviously we're seeing that Hazard was pretty much everywhere, and he's going to create a chance at the end of the day. He was going very direct and trying to play it into Morata, which I feel like Morata never really got in the game at all. Didn't exist until, I mean, we're going to talk about Giroud. Change the game when he did come on because he's more physical, but Morata just wasn't in that game at all. We held him. He was against three centre backs, but he didn't really want to know. I thought tactically were very,
right,
very good.
Giroud changed. You mentioned Morata there. Morata was like he was almost like he was on the pitch. Giroud completely changed the dynamic.
like, they didn't really change tactically, Chelsea. You know, they were still doing the same things. But then when you bring Giroud on the pitch, who is, like, he's a world-class kind of, I would say, a traditional centre-forward. He holds the ball up, he finds space, he wins the ball. Morata doesn't do any of that, and that's where our centre-halves maybe started struggling slightly with Giroud's just the intelligence and the fact that he can win the ball.
Yeah, by that point as well, Shaw and Fernandes were both on yellow cards, so they've been really careful. Which brings us on to the moment that changed the game. Sorry, Adam,
just
before
just going to say on Morata. Morata shies away and tries to avoid physical confrontation, but physical battles. I don't think he's built for the Premier League, in which I think he goes back to Spain, he'll have a canny time, Italy to a lesser extent as well. But Giroud came on and didn't shy away from any of those. Our three centre backs, I thought, given two of them were having their full debut at home today, I think were actually excellent, given that they've just been thrust into a new team, new system, and they were very imposing and winning headers. And like I said, using their physicality, which is why we were able to nullify the threat of Morata. And as you said, it was all about them camping out, and you pepper a team. You come outside a team's penalty box like Man City did last season at St James's Park. They're relentless. Hazard will draw fouls, and it's certainly when somebody with the quality of Willian on a delivery, that's when, and after having a couple of yellow cards, as we mentioned, that's when kind of danger started to happen for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're all in agreement that tactically we were spot on. Sorry, if anyone disagrees, I'd love to hear a convincing argument why that was wrong. But
what would you have done?
We're talking about a Newcastle side that on the morning of the game found out the two best players were going to be missing. I mean, Rafa's probably known about that a bit longer, but it sounds like that was a short notice situation. He's had to come up with a style of play against. This is a Chelsea team who won the league about 15 months ago. You know, they're not a piss take side.
The FA Cup last season.
They're one of the best teams in the country, and they'll be top four again this year. And we've had to find some tactics with four debutants, four people making their first starts for Newcastle. We're two best players out of the team. He's found something that's absolutely worked spot on, and you know what? He's a genius, because I would not have come up with that at all.
Yeah, absolutely agree.
Again, look, if you look at like Huddersfield, I'm sure they didn't sell their tactics like that, and what happened to them got jumped 3-0. It's frustrating to hear a few of the fans as well just like get into them and fuck them up. It's like, what do you want to dive in, commit a foul, just to show that one guy next to me was like, when Yedlin, he dived in and went, I'll get in about time, got yellow card. Why let them have possession? Guys in my group, WhatsApp group, saying, oh, Chelsea has some possession. What are they doing with it until 35 minutes? They didn't have a single, didn't get in our box. And it's like, yeah, keep on, let them have possession. We're obviously going very deep. To have them have possession, they're nowhere near our goal when they're doing that. Just let them pass it about.
Yep, totally. They were trying to get in the box, they couldn't. You described it perfectly, Norman. That every time they tried to get in at the side, there was someone there. Every time they tried to come to the back, they were having to go back, side to side. You can pass it side to side all day long. We would have taken 0-0 all day until the moment they changed the game. I mean, I suppose Rüdiger hit an outrageous strike from about 40 yards, which hit the bar. Other than that, though,
that's a one in 50.
Yeah.
50
you would be devastated if you gave
if that, if that decided Rüdiger the game. 40 yards. Yeah. I mean, Dubravka's made a couple of textbook saves, as I said. There's nothing really big, but yeah, the game changed on the penalty, and yeah, we've only had the seen it in real time. We haven't seen replays, but I think all of us, and it's been confirmed by Twitter and something.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen the highlights.
Adam, yeah. So will you confirm what we already believe, and you'll hear on the match day, it wasn't a pen.
100% not a penalty. It was my instinct in the ground that it wasn't, and I didn't know if it was just me being emotional, because I remember seeing a foot get the ball, and having seen the replay on the Sky Sports app, he gets the ball. The commentator also reiterates that on the footage as well. So Alonso's had him, like, and the referee's positioning I think is poor, given how crowded it is. The incident sort of happens facing the goal, and the referee is right back behind a few players. He is in no position. The assistant referee is too far away from it on the other side as well. The officiating, that was poor. And you could argue that, you know, Chelsea played that the way they were going to play. Eventually, they would have knocked the door down. Probably. given how it was going, and there's only so much at the point that we give away the penalty, we'd already had a couple of yellow cards, we'd start to lose our way a bit, Hazard was getting fouled quite a lot, so that you could feel the pressure building up. But I just think it turned the game, and you can't have a Premier League match with piss poor decisions like that. Like it's too critical, that the stakes are too high to not put yourself in a position where you can get that call right. He can only give that penalty if he's 100% sure that it's a penalty. Look, it wasn't. I tell you what. What told it for me in real time in the stadium as well was that the fact that the point shared already been booked. When he's thrown goal, Alonso, if he gets scythed down from behind, which is how the referee seemingly saw it, that's an easy second yellow card to give Fabian Schär. He did not give a yellow card, he gave the penalty, so he didn't go whole hog, he didn't commit to his own decision, and that's what told me in the ground at the time that he'd made a mistake, and I was proven right.
I mean, I kind of know what you're saying. We were under the cosh in the second half. I think there was a point in the game in the second half where Chelsea had 90% possession or something outrageous like that. Willian and Giroud had come off the bench. I mean, let's talk about that for a second. This is a Chelsea team again who've got the luxury to be able to bring Willian and Giroud just off the bench to hire in a bit more attack and threat. We've got Hosslu and Perez coming on to try and salvage the game. Like, that's the difference between the two sides. And you want to question Rafa's tactics.
It's unbelievable. It's really sad. But it's really sad that under an Ashley, Newcastle United is basically having a world-class manager like Rafa Benitez having to scrap and scrape around and not able to compete with the teams that he feels his talent level should be competing against.
I know what you're saying, we were under pressure, but I had no doubt that the lads would have seen out that game, and 0-0 would have been a cracking result, and I thought we were going to get it, and the penalty changed it for us. And you know what, those people around us going, we need to be more positive. As soon as they scored, he had Hosslu on, he had Perez on, he was like, right, well, we've got to try and get something out of the game. He didn't just sit there and go, oh well, we'll try and see it out 1-0. He immediately tried to get something out of the game. He went very positive, and you know, his tactics have nearly worked, and it's a gag penalty that's killed it for him.
I mean, in fairness to Dubravka, nearly got it as well.
Yeah. I think, though, he's obviously going to change it. Like, if for example, Chelsea had scored an early goal, he's going to change it no matter what. He had three centre-backs, but there's going to be a way that he's obviously drilled into them that we're going to change tactically. If we had conceded an early goal, luckily we obviously didn't, but...
Karim. I get nervous when
it's Norman? The point that you make about Chelsea bringing on Willian and Giroud, right? If you look at, and you mentioned like Hosslu and Perez, right? Regardless of how long he may have been in Newcastle, is a £1.5 million they signing from a Spanish second division team, right? Hosslu was a Stoke City reserve, had been on loan to Deportivo La Coruña and couldn't even get a game there, right? New Willian cost Chelsea 30 million. Giroud cost Chelsea 30 million. They bring those two on. We bring on players who none of us had even heard of until really the same for us, you know what I mean? And like, we've got fans shouting, get in them, fuck them up. Like, what with? What with? You know what I mean? Like, we try and get into Chelsea and we try and get into Chelsea and fuck them up, right? The second part we can do the fuck them up part, because anyone can go in two-footed and start giving the birdie big bollocks and try and get the crowd up by getting sent off. Brilliant. But then you're down to 10 men. Getting into them and what? The thing is, we open ourselves up to Chelsea. They would dominate us. The tactics that we played today were perfect for the personnel that we have. Even looking at Shea, looking at Fernandez, right? And Clark, I'll include Clark in that. These are three players. Fernandez, 6 million. Shear, 3.5 million. Clark, was it 5 million?
5 million.
Yeah, right. So what's that? So that's 14 million.
That's about
up against.
Half,
that's
about
less
half
than Giroud. It's half of Morata. It's less than half. It's more. It's less than half of Morata. It's less than Giroud's a centre forward, right? Those three were fucking brilliant today. And you know why they were brilliant? Because they've been coached and managed, and they've been totally gone playing a certain way by a brilliant manager. So any kind of criticism, if Rafa not being positive enough today, it's utter horseshit.
And to follow on from that, it was obviously Gary Neville was one of those naysayers from that Man City game last season. And I don't know if anyone noticed watching the Man City Wolves game the other week, but he got a sly dig in just saying, this is, you know, when a newly promoted side has a go, they will reap the rewards by being bold. And it's like,
when you went to Camp Gary, you had a go with Valencia and you lost 7-0. Fuck off.
Again, like you say, Rafa being positive, like Richard Keith had his say as well, saying Newcastle fans rather safe lose 5-4 than today, which Newcastle fan does fucking he know. But Newcastle can't go 4 goals, man. Again, wouldn't it go, like, if we played how he thinks he would play, would be open to Chelsea. As you said before, Norman, like, yeah, Sarri would be right. Newcastle are pressing, Newcastle attack, and we'll just cut them open. Yeah. We're good enough. Just let them.
Yeah.
Let them attack. We'll hit them. Yeah. Us to do that, we'd have to go like Newcastle score 4 goals.
Yeah.
How do we do that? Yeah. How do we do that?
The stupid thing about that is like, obviously we'll have been in the match. We wouldn't have seen any of the TV stuff, but I'm sure there would have been a section about Hazard and how he's basically the best player in the world after Messi and Ronaldo. And then they're going to sit there and tell us how we should be having a go at them when they're sitting there with that.
What with our free transfer midfielder key?
Yeah.
Kiarmier, $2.5 million from Hull. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but we should be going out there. We should be pissing them. For centre half Fernandez, who cost $6 million, he's 20 years old, got relegated with Swansea. Shea got relegated with Deportivo La Coruña. Clark got relegated with Aston Villa.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Two best players.
Yedlin got relegated with Sunderland. Dummett got relegated with Newcastle. So we should be going out and having a go against a fucking team of outrageously expensive, highly paid players who are some of the best in the world. We should be going out there, getting them, fucking them up. Have a word with yourself, man.
I got some stats, lads.
Yes.
So, Chelsea had 15 shots in that game. We had they had 15 shots. We had 6. We managed 2 on target. They managed 3. And one of them was a fucking penalty. Right? Possession. Anyone want to take a guess at what the possession ratio was? 81% is correct. We had 19% possession and we managed one less shot on target.
One less goal.
I thought you know, Murphy had a really good chance in the first half, and I thought he was very, very good. He gave us an outlet, I thought. But obviously, like, most of the game, Rondon was kind of isolated, really, given how much we were kind of pushed back. Should we talk about the equaliser? So the ball's been sprayed out, and actually I don't know if it was it Fernandez who hit. His long distribution was, I thought, excellent. I was very pleasantly surprised by that, but he found, he was able to spray it quite well. So Yedlin came into kind of contact with Giroud. I've seen the replay. There's an elbow. Yeah. So we've got away with one there. We've got to give balance. But the cross and the header, I thought, absolutely superb. And Hosolu, it just shows what confidence can do. Yes, he's still a mediocre striker, absolutely, but he works hard. And bloody hell, the two headers that he's managed in his two home games have been absolutely fantastic. Rondon sticks them in. Everyone's waxing lyrical, you know.
Yeah, totally. I mean, let's talk about some individuals. I mean, we've touched on some of the debutants so far. I think, as you said, Norman, Cher and Fernandez, for two lads who've just been hoyed in out of the blue, were both excellent. Excellent. And it wasn't until they were both on the yellow card that we almost had to give them a bit more space, because they had to be a bit more careful, and we lost a little bit of that impetus where we could just bully them around a bit. Key, we haven't really talked about yet, in centre mid. Again, Shelby, shock news that he was injured, and nobody really expected that to happen. And suddenly we've got a centre midfielder who hasn't played for us yet, and I thought he was quite accomplished. Diame was excellent again. I thought Diame was back to some of the best performances
just
we saw.
Just breaking up.
Bossing a 3-man Chelsea midfielder again cost like 17 times as much.
Yeah. Good players. And
I thought he started off very well and he just continued, which against Tottenham he didn't. And I said it before, like, about the Man U game, for example, last season, he started off, like, against the quality of their midfield. He just bossed it. And he did that straight away. He just got on them straight away. Not them once, like, if you're going to give him time, far away from goal, but anything that would come like within goal, you just tackle.
I mean, Key as well, I thought he complimented him really well. He was your traditional kind of centre mid. He was just covering loads of ground. I'm sure if you look at the stats on him, when you get a chance, the amount of yards he covered a day, I thought he put a really good shift in. He also takes a canny corner, and a couple of set pieces he delivered almost produced something. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of him as and when we need him. Obviously you want to see Shelby Diame. I guess the other debut then we've talked about is Rondon. It's the first time we've seen him start a game. And again, I thought he was so busy. I mean, 60 minutes, he was absolutely done. And you're absolutely right, Adam. Yes, we were quite deep. Rondon was isolated. He was about 20 yards ahead of all his teammates for a lot of the game. And yet he still did manage to bring people in the game. He brought Murphy in really well. Richie had one of his better games because when we got him into their half, Rondon was finding him, and you know, we were really productive with the 19% possession that we had. And that's no doubt down to whenever we got on their half, we had Rondon, Murphy, and Richie all had really good games and all really good on the ball. Really important, Roman.
You're right about Rondon. There's a couple of things I want to say. Yeah, the 90% possession. Let's look at the reality of this. We can be criticised for the possession. Someone like Diomier can be criticised across the course of a season for what he does do or what he doesn't do. Diomier was up against Jorginho and Cornier today, right? The two of them. Cornier, a double league title winner, cost Chelsea 30 million when he won the title with Leicester. Jorginho, about 50 odd million. Brilliant players, right? Diomier was £2.5 million, 29-year-old journeyman from Hull City, right? Right? And he's had them both in his pocket today. The two of them were. Azor ran the show, but Diomier can't take the three of them. So any criticism of Diomier is utterly unfounded. Look at the reality. He's a £2.5 million player from Hull City, and this is what he's doing right now. So he was magnificent. Rondon, like you say, 60 minutes, he was breathing out of his arse because he had grafted. And there was one particular incident, and I hope you can see it in the highlights. Conte really, really loses the tackle that he goes for. He went in for a ball with Rondon, and Rondon just brushed him off. He brushed him off, and like you say, I thought Richie was really effective for the full 90 minutes today because Rondon, when he was on the pitch, really allowed Richie to come in the game just because of his physical presence. The fact that he was winning the ball with his chest, with his head, he really made a difference. And there's a lot to be hopeful for there. Like I'm not going to walk away. I'm not going to get the train back down to London in what, 15 minutes, and have any kind of negative opinions in that game. We lost, unfortunately, to a penalty and an own goal, and I thought the players were brilliant today. I can't fault one of them.
I was going to say, yeah, I mean, going back to kind of key deputising for Shelvey, I thought Shelvey, first two games of the season, I think Shelvey's been our best performer in the first two games of the season. I think his all-round play, both attacking, chance creation, and his defensive work as well. And I've seen his attitude as well, the way at the Spurs, while he was chasing down the goalkeeper and looking around him, wondering why the hell anyone else wasn't matching his efforts. And like, that's a different Shelvey from 12 months ago, you know? That is a changed man. And really, it was really unfortunate that he wasn't starting today. But as Norman says, like, look at the first three games, right? You've got a shot that's gone in by 9 millimetres. You've got a penalty that we missed. You've got a penalty that wasn't a penalty given against us. And you've got an own goal in like the last minute. You can't legislate for that. As we said before, the tactics were bang on. And it shows that actually we do have a bit more depth than we kind of thought we did as well. Yeah, that's what I can't, like Norman, I can't be angry about this. It was kind of a free pass anyway against... We've gone toe-to-toe at home with two of the best teams in the country, and who have spent hundreds of millions. Rafa, that.
It is, Rafa. You're absolutely right. It is weird how our season so far has been defined by those two or three bits of bad luck, which is what you'd call it. I mean, we were talking about this on the way down, just before on the way here. This is better than last season. We're three games there where we deserve more than we got. We deserve more than the points at Cardiff. We deserve more than a defeat against Spurs, and we deserve more than a defeat today. We deserve something more than what we got from all those games. And if you look back to last season, some of us went to Hull, not Hull, Huddersfield, sorry. And we watched that performance, and we were genuinely like, oh shit, this is going to be a tough old season. I don't think that after these first three games.
We haven't
been
turned over. No. We've been defensively solid. We play like that for the rest of the season, defensively, certainly. And we have created chances in every game we've played. Let's not forget that side of it. So we're creating chances from open play. But defensively, we look canny. And that we're only going to get better as Rafa gets to work the defence a lot more. The likes of the new lads who have just been thrown in.
I think
couldn't have asked for more. From
defensively, we're going to be sound, like we were at the end of last season, well, second half of last season. I think, from I remember the Huddersfield, watching that 90 minutes, coming away from that ground was how we're going to create chances. We're not going to score enough goals. And coming from Tottenham, for example, we should have got a draw. Maybe it's a win. We created enough chances there. Cardiff less so, but we've got a penalty. Today we've scored. You know, the tactically, we've still created a couple of chances. I think we're going to be fine. Rondon is going to get a chance today. Like I was saying about Rondon, worked his arse off. Like, he put himself about, which Hossley didn't go today, but last week, as a centre back, you weren't worried about Hossley going up against him because he didn't really put himself about him, didn't really worry. But Rondon, he's just a handful, and today showed that. Like, some defences won't be able to handle him. Once we create chances, you'll score goals. And like, I've got a good friend, West Brom fan, he said, like, one of the things he does bring everyone to play, like, that's one of the big attributes, is bringing other players into play, holding up. One of the things, another thing I was going about Murphy, which was on about earlier, I thought he was great today in terms of he directs, his pace, he'll have a go at players. A couple of times probably could have been a bit more clever on the ball in terms of just holding it up a little bit instead of trying to go himself, because sometimes he had 30 yards to get a goal and he's going to get crowded up because there's no one to support. I think he's a player in there. I just need to, he's just got to be more clever.
But in fairness to him, fair play for having a go.
Oh, definitely.
But absolutely brilliant, fearless. Yeah. Pace, he is very raw, as you say, needs a bit more technical work done and decision making, but that's what you need. Just someone who's fearless, who will just scare fullbacks, even of the best teams.
Fullbacks don't want to like run back the goal, and he's after like a couple of times the first half, he did have a go at him. Obviously there's no one at the 45 now, I think. After today, he actually, just for size today, he had number 28 on his shirt, just to remind Sai how old he was.
Right, so go on, Roman, you got one more thing to say before you head off?
Just one more point before I head off. His third cameo appearance today, Muto is such a good player to bring off the bench. I mean, he's so impactful and dynamic. He's pretty much, you know, if you're watching the match and you're watching the ball, and then you kind of take your eye off the ball a second, he zips like from left to right, and I thought he was brilliant today, and I'm hoping that Mudo gets a start against Nottingham Forest in the number 10 role as well, because I think give him the number 10 role against Forest. If he scores, brilliant. I just think it'll be the kind of game where we might actually see what he can offer us, you know, from the start of a game in a tricky away tie. And I thought he made a real impact when he came on today, and I think the squad now, despite the fact we're on 1 point from three games, we were on 3 points from one game last season after beating West Ham. I think we're in a better position this season. We've had a harder start the season in terms of the teams we played. We're in a better position in terms of the quality in the squad. And Arsenal, Man City next two games, even if we come out those two games are nothing, 1.5, I would still think that we're in a better position than we were last season.
I agree. I think, you know, you look at today, you think, is that point lost going to cost us a place in the league? Is it going to get us relegated? I don't think so. And back to Muto. Like, his impact against Spurs, for example, he was on the pitch for 10 minutes. He had about the second highest or third highest number of take-ons in the whole match. And he was only on for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like, we've got, you know, we say about, like, you know, once we get the defence sorted, but we've also got potential to come from Rondon and Muto once they've settled in. We haven't seen close to the best of them in black and white shirts. And just time, more coaching, gelling, integration, we'll see the best of them. And it's probably best that we've played all these tough teams first, because once we start playing the winnable games, we should be flying.
Yeah. I suppose that's probably a good place to leave it in terms of where we are. There's one other thing to talk about today, inevitably, because the other 4 o'clock kickoff game down at Craven Cottage has reduced the usual bit of banter about a certain player who we were daft to get rid of. I mean, Mitrovic. Three goals and three starts from now. I mean, my answer to that is, well, Hosselu's got two goals and two starts, so, I mean, what's the difference? But, look, Mirovic has scored two goals against a How many Europa League games have they had so far? Like seven? This is a Burnley side that are blowing out their asses. They've had, like, 10 competitive matches already. And, like, yes, Mitrovic has played them at the perfect time and got a couple of goals. I mean, we haven't seen it yet. I'm sure he played well, but let's not lose our shit about a couple of goals scored in a football match.
Just watching our system, that's all you need to know. Rafa would never have played him. It's gone. It's happened.
Yeah, exactly.
It's done.
Come back at the end of the season. You'll have a similar
Mitrovic
scoring total.
Like, it's a similar situation with Mbemba. You're talking about genuinely talented footballers. If you're in a squad managed by your manager who has a certain way of doing things, so let's look at Muto. There was an interview this week with Muto. He's having English lessons 5 days a week. 5 days a week, Muto's going out and trying to learn English. One of the reasons Rafa got rid of Mbembe was because he didn't go out and try and learn English. Rafa has got rid of Mitrovic, regardless of his talent, because he's not doing on the pitch what Rafa's asking of him. So, yes, they're talented, but if you're in a fucking squad and you're not doing what you're being asked to do, then... Sorry, but you're not going
to
fit in, are you?
They're no value to the squad if they're not going to perform how the manager wants them to.
Yeah. Let's say he scores 15 to 20 goals a season for Fulham. Let's see who finishes higher in the league before we judge whether or not it's a good decision to sell him. That's what I say.
The thing is, it's the same lads who say getting them to fuck them up would have Metro just like trying to fuck them up and probably get a red card.
Yeah.
They're the lads who think, oh, he'll stick a foot in. That's why they love them, because... That's what he did. You know what I mean? He does stupid things, which doesn't follow instruction. Like, a game like today, he could have done that, and maybe he's got sent off. I don't know. Like, it dips and busts and all that. But like, these are the fans who will want someone committed and full blown diving in there, which not needed at the end of the day. And would he have done what the kind of job Rondon did today in terms of defensive work and try to obviously go between that defence and held the ball and bring people in play? He wouldn't have worked that hard at the end of the day, because he would have been mourning, saying he was trying to get the ball higher up, having chances. He wouldn't have been happy after the day. He wouldn't have done that. He wouldn't have put the work rate in, and he wouldn't have followed the instructions that we needed today. So he couldn't have played in that game. He couldn't have played how we like. Fair, he done 3-3. Well done, the lad. But at the end of the day, I'm just fucking not hard, to be honest. So, yeah.
Good for him.
Yeah, that's probably a good place to leave it, because Norman, I know you need to go. I mean, we've deliberately not talked about the Lascelles situation, because there's been a few rumours about what the reason he was left out the side, and to be honest, we don't know much about it. There's been a couple of reporters say one thing, others have just said he was injured. I guess we'll leave that for a couple of days until we do the full review later in the week with a bit more information. So thank you very much for joining us, Adam. Thank you, Cowley. Thank you. See you later, Norman.
Bye.